Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Sort of after the credits, I am your host, Marina Antunes, from Row3.com, Quieter.us, and Litterboxed the Marina. And I will forget to do this after we record this show. Joined today by fellow co-host
Dale of Dale42 on Letterboxd and DigitalDoodles.com.
I'm also on Twitter. I'm the Marina everywhere.
Oh, I'm.
And if I'm not the Marina, I'm the Marina the number one.
I am Dale42 on Twitter, but yeah, I don't tweet that much.
I haven't been tweeting very much. I think my followers think I died. So occasionally I tweet something totally ridiculous, like, oh my god, you should see the amount of food we cooked for New Year's. I didn't actually tweet that, but I did Facebook that. The dog was not impressed by all the shellfish in our gourmet kitchen that is located in the garage. But it was quite funny because my mom and I were out there preparing dinner, and he's sort of sniffing around, and when he figured out what we were doing, he had zero interest.
Was that when you took that picture of him?
Yeah, it's like
he was looking very bored.
Yeah, I'm like, here's some lobster, and he's like, eh. He like sort of sniffed at the edge of the tray, and he's like, not interested.
Not red meat.
Nah, it's not meat. I don't want it. But so it was quite amusing. But Happy New Year's to everyone. We forgot to say that on the last show.
Oh yeah.
So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's apropos considering we're going to be wrapping up 2013. This will be hopefully the last I will kind of think about 2013 other than trying to catch up on movies. Because I'm done with doing top 10s. Damn you. Okay, I have a bone to pick. Okay, so.
It looked like you were pointing at me for a moment.
No,
but then
you kind of,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's why I sort of, you know, moved my hand. But Kurt, I have a bone to pick with you, man. So he sent us an email like 2 weeks ago saying, we're going to do our top 10 list. It has to be in by the 29th. This was what he said. So Andrew sent out a little follow-up note saying, okay, please send me your graphic earlier so I can prepare everything. Because let me just say right off the bat, you have to come and see the site because Andrew does an amazing job of all the graphics.
He does.
So he did this gorgeous poster with all of our names for the top 10 list. And he did all of the graphics for like our actual lists. So, I mean, Andrew, you're awesome. You did an awesome, awesome, awesome
job.
You
guys put in a lot of effort on that, like tabulating and all that
stuff. It's all Andrew. I take no credit for it. It was all Andrew and Kurt. I think mostly Andrew, but Kurt had an in there somewhere. So, you know, Kurt sent us this email like 2 weeks ago saying, okay, you need to give us your list by the 29th. And I wasn't ready on the 29th, so I kind of didn't say anything and waited until somebody like got on my back and started saying, you need to put your list in. Because I really wanted to see, I think it was 47 Ronin, and there was something else. Oh, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
I wanted to try to get those in before I tabulated my final list. It was The Wolf of Wall Street, of course, that I was waiting for. And then I put in my list that night because we went to see it together.
Yeah.
And I looked and Kurt's list wasn't up yet.
Oh.
So Kurt, you're caught. Never do
busted.
That to me again. Because god damn it, I watched movies. I didn't sleep trying to catch up on movies. Fuck you. No, really. I really do love you. But no, I was freaking out a little bit. And then I just finally gave up.
I'm no, like, if you, you know can't what? Curse at family, who can you curse
exactly.
at?
But you know, I just got to the point where I'm like, I just cannot watch any more movies. I'm done. I still have a lot of things that I haven't seen that I really want to see, but I'm not going to get to. And then there's a bunch of other stuff that I didn't get to see because it didn't open here yet.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not in Toronto. We're not in Toronto. We're in Vancouver, the other end of the coast, the better end of the country.
Oh, well, I mean, holy smokes, those poor bastards too.
Yeah, especially at the moment, right?
Ice storm.
Oh my god! Well, I was watching something a little earlier. They had like frostbite warnings.
Yeah.
In like Toronto. It's like, really? Seriously? It
doesn't usually get that.
No. Yeah. So yeah, our condolences to people that can't go outside. But I guess that's why they watch so many movies. But the thing that I'm really getting at is we're like one of the central markets, but we're not Canada's market. Toronto is. So, we didn't get her. It doesn't open until God knows when at this point. We didn't get The Immigrant. Probably won't get it until later in the year. And there was a couple of other titles that just never opened here. Hence, they're not on my list. But before we get to the lists, because we both have lists.
Yes.
I thought it would be kind of fun if, I don't know if you have any moments, but any like great moments you experienced at the theater this year, or any bad moments you experienced at the theater, anything that sort of stands out.
Oh.
Do you have any really good moments?
I'm
really
sure.
Bad?
I'm sure I will remember after we hit the stop button, but... Whistler was a real highlight this year. I mean, I know that you and Bill, I think, liked the film lineup last year better, but this year for me was real. There was only one film that was and it was wonderful that they weren't using the conference center anymore. Like that was a big.
Oh my God, that was a huge improvement.
So yeah, Whistler was definitely kind of the high point of films. Nothing else kind of jumps out, I think. It's always fun in with like the summer blockbuster time, just, getting a gang together.
Yeah.
And going to see the popcorn flicks.
Yeah. So
I enjoyed that.
Ditto.
And I was a little bit, there was a couple movies I was really rooting for that didn't quite deliver, but one of the series is dead, but the other one is still carrying on, thankfully, so hoping for better.
You want to care to share?
Well, that was going to be kind of on the special mentions, but this wasn't on the special mention, but Mortal Instruments.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad they're making the number two. Number one was not that inspiring for a bunch of reasons, and
I still enjoyed it for what it is.
I was rooting for it, and there were things in there that I kind of liked, so I'm hoping for better. And I've read I think five of the books.
Yeah. So the first series.
The first series and a bit of, And I think it could translate really well if they can kind of get things locked in. So hopefully.
Me too. I hope that goes through.
And you?
Gravity was a real high point as far as like going to the movies.
That's the one movie that I haven't seen that I really wanted to see before I did my list, but C'est la vie.
Yeah, we went to, it was a lot of firsts because it was the first time that I can honestly say that I recommended in 3D. Like, it's just a movie to be experienced. And we went to see it in the VIP theaters, which I'd forever sworn that I was never going to spend the money to go to because they're like $19.99 for a ticket plus tax. So like $20 for a ticket. So before you even get in the door, you've already dropped $40. But we had these coupons that we wanted to use, so it totally worked out.
And right.
I must admit, I really enjoyed the experience. The seats were really comfortable. The fact that I could have food if I wanted to was great. The service was really good. And they actually had ushers, which reminds me of how much I miss ushers.
Right.
Because, it's nice to have somebody there that can sort of keep an eye out on, the crowd and whatever else.
Right.
I really, big kudos to... Landmark Cinemas, which I go to in West all the time.
Oh, yeah. That actually...
They still have on newly released, opening, Friday, Saturday release movies.
Did they open this year or last year?
They opened late last year.
But they're... I really like that theater.
Me too.
The one in New West, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's on a SkyTrain line.
They have
parking downstairs.
They have a couple other theaters.
They do. They have
I've only been to the New West one.
Yeah, I think they have one in, they have a few more now because they purchased a portion of the Empire Theater line when Empire went under. So the one on the North Shore here, the Cineplex.
Oh, yeah,
Lonsdale is now an Empire. Landmark, I should say.
It's not stadium seating, so I hardly ever go there.
I've been there. I've never been there until this year. That's another highlight. I'd never been there until this year when I went to see two movies there. It's an okay theater. It's older.
Yeah, it's an okay theater.
It's well maintained. The people that run the place have kept it up really well.
I will go to movies in North Vancouver, there's two theaters. Neither of them are stadium seating. So once a movie is been out for a while, and I'm pretty sure that the crowd will be thin enough, I can find a seat with nobody sitting in front of me. I'll go see a movie there. But like for first run, first couple weeks, if it's popular, no.
But yeah, so they still do their, they've got somebody up there for the first like 20 minutes of the movie to make sure nobody's using cell phones.
Nice.
Which I really appreciate.
Yes, definitely.
I did have the worst movie moment I had in a movie theater this year happened just like a week ago when I went to see, I may have told you the story. I don't know.
I think I know where you're going with this.
So we went to go and see 47 Ronin on opening weekend. So we went on the Saturday. And the trailers were on, and some kids came in. They must have been 12 or 13. They came stomping up, cell phones out, talking like they were in their living room. And I could just feel my heart tightening, and I started gripping the handrests. And I just got very, very anxious knowing that this was going to end badly. And this went on for like 2 or 3 minutes. And they were like, they've got their cell phones out, looking at their seat numbers. And I lost it. I leaned forward. I pointed. Nobody could see me. I'm in the dark, right? I leaned forward. I put my finger at them. I'm like, sit the fuck down and shut up. And that shut them up for about half hour. They looked at me like, who's the crazy woman that just yelled at us? Dan looked at me like, what the fuck just happened? My friends looked at me like, okay, is this the right Marina? I couldn't control it.
Like Mr. Furious from Mystery Man, anger rising.
But I could feel it. Like I was just getting more and more anxious. And it's kind of like one of those moments where, you know, some things have gone bad the last couple of days and you haven't really taken it out on anybody.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden it starts to sort of boil over, and I just totally lost it. It wasn't enough. Eventually they sort of got progressively, they were quiet for a half hour and then got progressively worse. And then they had to go and call somebody from the theater who sat right like beside them for the remainder of the movie. But it was just, I fucking lost it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, so don't sit in the theater with me. If you're planning on using your cell phone, I will lose my shit on you.
Or me. Well, I mean, this year is the first year I actually kind of yelled something on the theater too. Someone was using their phone. I mean, I don't give a damn what happens. Even in the trailers, if you're talking with your buddy, it's like, that's okay. And using your cell phone. But once the movie credits start, you better be winding things down, or like you, it's like the slow burn. But I don't always say anything. But
yeah, neither do
I. But this time it was like, it went on for, well, it felt like 5 minutes. It was probably 2 or 3. It was clear this person was like, and I just, I yelled, it's like, put the phone away.
Well, and that's the thing.
You got cheering, you said.
Oh, I did get cheering.
No one cheered when I said that, damn it.
This is the thing. I mean, I'm usually I'm a glarer. Like, I will turn my head visibly and glare at you if you're doing something badly. Or I'll kick your seat if you're sitting in front of me. Or I'll do the shh. But I don't always say, turn that off. But twice this year I've done it. And this last week was, like, the worst. Because I swore, and I swear these kids were, like, 12. When the lights came up, I looked at them and I'm like, and I don't fucking care. You guys deserved every second of it. But I just pushed me over the edge.
I'm one of those, like, this isn't your living room. You have lots of options for seeing movies high quality in your living room now. Like, if you want to socialize, get yourself a goddamn Starbucks. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
And socialize. Like, don't.
Well, and then, you know, it sort of goes back to Dan keeps saying the reason he doesn't like going to the movies is because he just can't deal with people.
You know, a lot of people are, I mean, and then that's the interesting thing is every time it comes up, It's a lot of people. I mean, I'm just surprised that the movie theaters think they're better off letting people get away with it than not. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know whether that's just because they don't want the confrontation, or they actually think that they would get less people coming out if they couldn't talk than more people. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to my first higher frame rate. I forget what that's called.
Yeah,
Desolation of Smog.
Nice.
I was never quite sure how to say that now because
Smog?
I've always pronounced it smog.
Me too.
And then you hear the actors like smog
or something.
It's like,
can't figure out if it's the accent or if that's how you're actually supposed to pronounce it.
So, I mean, you know me, like I'm pretty negative on 3D, but I wanted to see the movie and my friend had coupons. So she really wanted to see like the high definition one, which was 3D. So it's like, oh yeah, coupons. Okay. And I don't know whether it was the high definition and just that much more clarity and depth of field, or whether that with the 3D made a difference, but it looked a lot sharper and the 3D worked better for me in that than it did in a regular one. So I'm kind of curious now. It might change my mind on 3D.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I was talking to a girlfriend that went to see it and they were complaining about how cartoony it looked.
It definitely is different. It reminds me of back in the days with the early videotape on TV.
Okay.
It looked like it was noticeably different than the stuff they shot on film. And then later when they started doing the digital camera, it was different again. So I someone told me it was frame rate or something. But
well, and this is the thing. So I said, because I couldn't figure out why it would look like that.
Cartoony
and then,
is
it sort of came to mind that it's probably the higher frame rate because saw it in 3D.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was probably the higher frame rate then. It definitely, it was different enough that it took me a while to kind of get into it. But without reviewing the film, I thought it was, portions of that movie were a little bit farcical. So I would kind of use cartoony in a different sense, not visually, but just.
And I don't think that was really her term. She was saying how their complaint was that it looked like a set. Like it was clearly like a set, and they didn't feel like they were as immersive as like the Lord of the Ring movies.
I definitely understand that. Yeah, and that might be just because the quality is so much better.
That would be my thought, is just that it's just getting used to, and they didn't even notice.
You know?
Because they couldn't figure out why they thought it looked like that, because the first one didn't look like that to them. They didn't see the first one in that.
Yeah.
They saw it in regular TV.
That would totally be it.
So I was kind of curious, because I haven't seen anything in the higher frame rate yet. Because I did go and see the second Hobbit movie in 3D, which I didn't do for the first one, but we went up to Capilano to see it.
Oh, right.
Which was also a really cool experience.
Yeah, and they have a slightly different system too.
Yeah, they have a Dolby 3D system. I don't know what the difference is, but it's apparently slightly different.
I couldn't tell you the pros and cons of it. I just know the glasses are completely different.
Yeah, the glasses are totally different. But I mean, it was really nice to be there. I really enjoyed it.
It's a nice theater.
It was very, very cool. Do we have anything else before we sort of get going with our top 10, do you think?
Do we want to do kind of the special mentions
the special first? Mentions
or?
Yeah, let's go for the special mentions first.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first? Because I have lots.
Why don't I go first? Because I don't have lots.
Okay.
And you can jump in. So, didn't make my top 10. It came close, but my favorite rom-com of the year was Finding Mr. Right, which I saw at Whistler.
Haven't seen.
I know. I kind of missed you, because you're my rom-com buddy. Like, yes, it's like, it's I don't true. Know too many, especially it's not normally a guy thing. I'm just a freak that way. But and it's Chinese. It's subtitled. But the Chinese perspective, like the subtle differences, but it mostly being the same, was fun.
Yeah.
And Hong Kong emphasis, the characters were Hong Kong. And it's like you hear a lot about the almighty dollar or yen or whatever it is they use in Hong Kong. And there was definitely some social commentary on that too. But it was still, it was like, it wasn't, didn't feel totally foreign. And it didn't hurt that the female lead was drop dead gorgeous.
I did see the still. She is hot.
Yeah. She's amazing. And I just really enjoyed it. It's kind of longish, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent.
And I wanted to shout out to Europa Report, just because it was like a really well done hard sci-fi.
I totally forgot about that one, but you're totally right.
It didn't, like, the story left me a little bit. It felt a little bit like propaganda to me, like
a little.
But I enjoyed it. It didn't make my top 10, but just because it was kind of singular in
excellent
the authenticity. Yeah. And the host.
Oh.
It's funny. I mean, we did the podcast for, but there's something about, I mean, maybe it's Saoirse Ronan and Diane Kruger, or The story. I mean, I can't recommend it as a movie, but it's still kind of in my thoughts every now and then. So
that's cool.
There's kind of something there, and it's like I'm sad. This is one I'm sad too. That
that's right.
It's probably not going to get a sequel.
Yeah, most likely not.
I mean, and there were definitely story problems with the one they presented, but yeah. And finally, Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh yes, okay. We can have a little discussion on this.
Yeah, like the first half of the movie was bad.
Yeah,
but the second half totally captured me. So I don't want to out and out recommend like. Qualified recommendations always suck, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you tell someone, it's like, well, you know, it was kind of blah, 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 blah. So, you know, decide whether you want to. And like, it's.
I know.
But yeah, the first half of the movie was kind of lame and I was totally hating. I mean, literally like, good God, how long is this movie?
And then
the plot kicks off.
Yeah.
And he goes on his adventure and it's just, it totally captured me.
Yeah. It totally changes gears. And that's, I'm still having a hard time sort of dealing with that because I'm with you. I really disliked the first half of the movie. Just like those stupid dream sequences. Just
I know. And that was exactly what it was. They were so fancy.
Yeah. They didn't work.
And they didn't work. I mean, you knew exactly what they were, where they were going with that. And like at the end of the movie, you, I totally understand why they made that decision going in, but I would love to see a recut with those totally chopped out and see what that would do for the movie.
Yeah. Cause I think it would totally change the pacing.
Yeah.
And it would certainly make it, at least for me, a more enjoyable film. Cause yeah, the second half is excellent. And I still contend that for anybody that doesn't follow me on Letterboxd, I still contend that is probably one of my favorite scenes of the year is in that final half of that movie.
Yeah, I know exactly. We were talking about that. And it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
that scene with Sean Penn is amazing.
Yeah.
It really it did something for me. Like that scene, it was like, that's exactly how I feel.
That is to me, that was the quintessential moment of that entire movie, mm-hmm. was that moment right there.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And it kind of hurts my heart that it's buried in a movie that I can't fully say, go out and see it because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because the first half, it's a long movie. So when we say the first half, we're talking like the first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like you can just...
My perception of movies, it's always weird, right? Like you, the one that comes to mind right away is Tangled. Like I really like the Newt character out of that. And when I rewatched Tangled, I realized just how little that character was in the movie. And yet it had like in my brain, it was kind of like
the one thing that
it was like,
large thing.
So yeah, I couldn't tell you what the time was, but I mean, in terms of thematically, I think it's fairly safe to say like the first third to half.
Yeah.
It's just not fun. Yeah.
Not fun. Well, I want to preview my honorable mentions list by saying this list could have had like 100 movies on it. I had a really good year and I don't know. I think I saw quite a bit. So I think it's safe to say that it was a really good year.
Do I look up your count? It was 300.
355 was the last count.
Wow. Is that
actually 356? Because I did manage to squeeze one in before midnight.
Is that is that total or is that 2013 releases?
That's total.
Okay.
It's mostly 2013 releases, though. There wasn't a lot of old stuff on the list.
Okay.
There were some, but not all. But I think it was, I think it's fair to say, because I think probably 90% of my list was 2013 releases. So I think I'd safe to say I saw a lot. I didn't see everything. And I was fairly selective. Like I didn't go out to the movie theaters every weekend.
Right.
And I wasn't watching movies every night. But
I was about to say something, but no, it's like I only know when I see your Letterboxd feed jump up. And I know you're like me, you'll just bulk enter a bunch.
I usually bulk enter a bunch. But I think I had a really good year, and I think it's fair to say that it was a good year in general. And the fact that I had a hard time, one, creating a top 10 and then like dwindling down to the honorable mentions, I think says a lot.
I had a hard time with my list too. Like there was a whole bunch of movies that I'm glad I saw and I enjoyed. There was no movie that was like far and above better. Like there was nothing that was like, oh man, that was awesome. The best year ever was actually when The Matrix came out. Mm. There was The Matrix and The Mummy. And I loved the hell out of both of those.
Yeah.
And the first Star Wars came out and I had lots of hope for that, but that didn't quite go. But The Mummy was just like out of nowhere.
Yeah. I love those.
And I love that movie. And The Matrix had all that anticipation and then it delivered on it.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of year I always hope for, where you have one, or, you know, if you're lucky, two movies that are just like, wow.
Yeah. But and this year, for me at least, I had a number of those.
Oh, so yeah, I didn't this year.
I was quite happy.
But I mean, a lot of movies, like I said, like I almost like I could split my list into like, I liked these movies, but they were like all about the same.
Oh, okay.
And then there were the ones it's just like, yeah, no, forget about those.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly had that. But I mean, when I started doing my top 10 list, I must have opened like 60 tabs. I'm like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. I need to.
And you kind of want to divide it up, right? Because there's the schlocky movies that, like Rest in Peace Division. I could not recommend that movie at all. It was really bad, but Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds, they had this chemistry and I laughed. I laughed a lot when it wasn't like totally dumb and I wasn't groaning. And how the hell do you rate that, right?
Yeah.
You need a special, because on a top 10, like it's way down in terms of ranking, but enjoyed the hell out of it.
Well, and that's the thing. I guess I can preface my entire list by saying these aren't necessarily the best movies of the year. They're my favorites of the year.
Right.
So, I mean, they're movies that in some way or shape or form I really loved and I'll watch them again. And if I can't see, I started to get very selective a couple of years ago on what I buy on DVD or Blu-ray. Because, I mean, at some point you just run out of space.
Right.
Right. So, I'm sorry. If I really liked you, but I'm only ever going to see you once, I'm not going to buy you.
Exactly.
But I will spend money on movies that I want to see again. So, I've seen all of the movies on my list except for one. Okay, maybe a couple because they're not out yet. But I've seen them all at least once. The ones that are on DVD more than once. So there, that's
see,
how
I see that also blows me away. The fact that you watch that many new releases and you still rewatch old ones. Like,
oh,
holy crap.
Okay, TV during the holidays is the worst thing ever. Because I rewatched Goodfellas, which is like, for anybody, it's like 3 hours long.
It's a long movie.
With commercials. Okay, so it's like four hours long. And it's the weirdest thing.
I thought
thing.
You had a PVR.
Well, this is the thing. We do have a PVR, and I have it on Blu-ray. It's easy enough to go to the shelf, pull it off the shelf,
it's
put it in the PlayStation.
Though.
But you know, there's something about when you're flipping through the
I
channels
know.
And you're like, where's the money, Karen? And you're like, fuck, now I have to watch this. So it's like, we rewatched Goodfellas, we rewatched Casino, we rewatched Seven, we rewatched... it's like all these movies that we watch... We can watch any time, but they're on TV around Christmas. I don't know why
It feels like a find, you know?
It totally does. So, of course, we rewatched like a bunch of movies that are like 10 hours long. But, okay, so my list. Because I still haven't talked about my list. So, my honorable mentions. I'll just go through the list quickly because it's long. Oblivion, which I really liked.
Oh, it didn't make your top 10.
It didn't quite make my top 10. It was very close. I sort of went back and forth between Man of Steel and Oblivion.
Yeah.
And I decided to put Man of Steel on my list because I saw it more times. That's how I made the cut. I'm like, I've seen Oblivion twice. So I've seen Man of Steel more times than I care to count. So Oblivion makes the honorable mention.
That's
list.
Cool. Yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, Oblivion had some horrible, horrible story problems, but... The visuals in it were beautiful.
And you know, it left me enough. Dan and I, it's probably the one movie this year that Dan and I watched together that we talked about the most.
Oh, yeah.
And we still talk about it occasionally, like every once in a while.
We'll
see a commercial for
it's
something.
It's done its job.
Yeah. And I mean, any movie that can make Dan talk is good by me. And it helps that I really, really liked it a lot. More than most people, I realize that. But I really, really enjoyed it. Before Midnight, which I saw by myself and I wish I'd seen with Dan. It's just not the type of movie that he would like to watch, though I wish it were, because I think he'd really get a lot of it out of it. Rhymes for Young Ghouls, the Canadian film, which is going to open this year, because we're now in 2014. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Tracks, which will now see life on the big screen this year. I had sort of like a moment at the end of that movie where I kind of went, I have not done enough with my life. And I'm like 10 years older than this woman. Just fucking shoot me now. But it was really inspiring, really inspiring. And a really great story about sort of doing things your own way and just not following what everybody expects of you. I really, really liked it. And Mia Wasikowska is amazing. Like Father, Like Son, which tore my heart out. Japanese movie about kids switched at birth.
Oh.
Just really amazing. Really amazing. And yes, I cried like a baby girl. Gravity, for the aforementioned reasons, it's really amazing. The Husband, which was a total surprise for me at Whistler. I expected to enjoy it. Didn't expect to love it. Almost made the cut for my top 10 list, which surprises me to no end.
I haven't, but Bill really liked it too, I think.
Yeah, Bill really liked it as well. It's really good. Bruce McDonald really did, like, outdid himself on that one. It's quite good. His style really adds a lot to that story. Just the way he shoots. He shoots very close up. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of scenes of him, of the husband driving, the guy driving around. I can't remember his name now. And just, he just captures it really. It's really interesting visually as well. Nancy Please, which is this tiny, tiny, no-budget movie about a guy who's trying to get a book back from, I can't remember if it's an ex-girlfriend or a woman that he used to live with or something, like an ex-roommate. And it's just, it's like the darkest comedy I have ever seen in my life. Because I watched it the first time and I didn't even realize it was a comedy.
Wow.
Like, it's just... You just feel so sad for these people, especially the guy, because he's just so fucking pathetic. And then the second time I watched it, and I liked it so much that I watched it a second time, and I'm like, shit, this thing is fucking hilarious. It's just so pitch black funny. I love this movie. It's really good. If you have a chance to see it, highly recommended. Blue Caprice, which not enough people are talking about. It's... based on a true story about a guy and his adoptive son who did like a shooting spree through some areas in the U.S. a couple of years back from a blue caprice. But the interesting thing here is that they didn't have, like, they're not related. The guy sort of adopted this kid when
I remember that event.
Yeah, he had sort of adopted this kid when he had ran off with his own kids. He'd taken them illegally and gone off somewhere in the Bahamas, I think it was. And when he came back, he brought this kid back with him. He'd been abandoned by his mother, who'd gone to the U.S. to look for work. And so he sort of manipulates this kid into committing these crimes. And the guy was, like, seriously fucked. I mean, at least in the movie, he's just... He plays this guy that's completely unstable. Like, he thinks that everybody's out to get him.
Uh-huh.
So he's devised this, like, ridiculously complicated plan on how to kill these people. But it's all random. Like, there's actually no point to it. He figures if it's random, nobody will ever know what the fuck is going on. And it's just, it's a really quiet, very purposeful movie. And even the violence, like, you don't see much of it. Everything is sort of done through like newscasts of after the fact.
Uh-huh.
But it's really good. The performances are amazing. It played Sundance, sort of fell off the wagon. I think it just sort of died. It's not the kind of thing that, you know, a lot of people want to see, but worth tracking down. It's really, really well done.
Hmm.
American Hustle, the best Scorsese movie Scorsese never directed. It's awesome. And it has a sort of it's kind of sad in one way, and it also has this sort of joy for just how wacky it is. Like, there's musical numbers and there's singing, and it's over the top, and there's, like, guest appearances by people that you're like, holy fuck, I can't believe that just happened. It's all over the place. I really liked it.
I had a hard time sustaining interest.
Oh, really?
The characters didn't. It was like, it's one of these movies, like, the production value and clearly the directing was really good, because the pacing and everything, like, it was an easy movie to watch, but I just could not, identifies to, I mean, with a movie, like, you can almost, like, you bond with one or more of the characters, like, you really kind of get into their skin or whatever. And it didn't work for any of those characters for me.
I have a very interesting relationship with these types of movies. Cause I kind of put them all in like the Scorsese camp because he kind of does them the best. Because, I mean, you get movies like Goodfellas and Casino, which I really love. I love Casino more than Goodfellas. I'll tell that to anybody that will listen. But there are these movies that, I mean, I can't associate with anybody that's on screen. But there's just, I don't know, there's an energy about them that I just fucking love.
Scorsese movie was that way for me.
Yeah, like, Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. Most of the characters there were reprehensible.
Yeah.
But I still found the story very, very interesting.
Yeah, and that kind of, for me, American Hustle kind of fits in there. Because it's, I mean, I don't like any of the characters.
No.
I don't think any of them are good people.
But no.
I just, it has, for me, it's still
maybe,
that
maybe the Louis C.K. character who was.
Well, yeah, who was clearly like the only guy with a heart.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, it's so all over the place. But I mean, it was so much fun to watch. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, some there were some great performances in there definitely. I kind of
Christian Bale's headpiece.
Oh, that
performance
whole
all on its own.
You know, he did a really good job with that character. I wish I'd liked that character more. And and Amy Adams kind of stepped out.
I think for me, she's the best out of the entire cast.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking about Jennifer Lawrence, but for me, it's all about Amy Adams.
You know,
she's amazing.
She was kind of doing batshit crazy and
it's easy.
It's easy.
I don't want to say it's easy because I mean, acting isn't easy otherwise.
No, it would true.
But I mean, yeah, it's a much showier character.
Oh, and it isn't. Yeah, and it isn't to demean the performance either. But in terms of
it's much
where
showier.
You're at to where you're going,
it's far more showy and grand.
Adams was really nuanced and clearly, I mean, part of the thing that kept me engaged in that movie was the fact that like her character was clearly pissed off at being number two in the relationship.
Yep.
And you weren't ever quite sure what her motives were.
No.
Through the whole and she played that so well.
Yes.
And I flip-flopped a couple times based on her, you know, like some new scene would play and you go, oh, wait a minute. No.
Yeah, I think she was the highlight. I think she's always fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen her in anything that I haven't liked her in, but I thought for me, she was the best performance.
She's always good. Some of the roles that her earlier roles were kind of pablum-y, I thought, but
I really
she was always good.
The first thing I remember seeing her in was June Bug, and from the moment I saw that, I was in love. So it's Amy Adams. Girl crush. okay, moving on from American Hustle, I have two more I want to quickly mention. Trance, the Danny Boyle movie about the guy that can't fucking remember anything.
Oh, right.
James McAvoy is
you
awesome.
Know, it's a good thing I haven't seen most of these because the few that I have, we keep going on a...
So Trance is awesome. Highly recommended. I really liked it. And my final nearly made my list, really nearly made my list was Mud.
Oh, I didn't see that either. McConaughey.
That movie.
Before he lost weight.
You know, I wasn't expecting much from that movie, but I should know better because the director's movies are always amazing. I was totally blown away. The kids in this movie are amazing. Totally highly recommended. Really, really good. Really, really good. And he plays this guy who's, he's killed his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. And now he happened to be from a family that has bounty hunters.
Mm.
And now his father, who's like the head bounty hunter, really mean man, he has everybody he has working for him searching for this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's hiding out in this little island and the kids find him. And it's really, really good though. Really great.
I remember that trailer.
Really amazing. Okay, top 10.
Top 10. Da, 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 da.
Oh, should we preface by things we wanted to see but didn't get a chance to?
Oh,
may have made the list.
Yeah, for me it was Gravity.
Yeah.
Was the one I really wanted to see that.
And the only ones that I really wanted to see were Her, The Imposter. No, The Immigrant. My apologies, forgot that. Museum Hours and Under the Skin. The new Jonathan Glazer. None of them opened here. Haven't seen them. They may have all made my list. And I just realized that Only Lovers Left Alive could have also made my list, but I also haven't seen it.
I totally don't even remember those movies.
All the better for me. Okay, number 10. Go for it.
Because
everybody's already seen my list, so.
My list is up there if they want to. Well, actually, no, it wasn't sorted. It's still not. I had a hard time, folks. Like we were saying earlier, I saw a whole bunch of movies I really enjoyed, but they all kind of formed together in a pack. Yeah. So if you look at my list on Letterboxd, the 2013 movie seen in 2013, it's generally in order. It's all kind of clustered. So stuff at the bottom, not so much. Stuff near the top, and it's all. Anyway.
I'll say this before you do your top 10. I had like 9 movies that were kind of all in the running with the other 50.
Yeah.
And then one movie that totally stuck out.
Okay.
Number 10.
Okay. Diana Reeland, The Eye Must Travel.
Oh, yeah.
Documentary.
Great pick.
I didn't know what to expect when I went in there. And I think mostly for me, because I had this, it brought back all kinds of memories that I hadn't realized that I'd had about what magazines looked like mm-hmm. back then. And added to that, the whole history of fashion with those iconic models and just a different time and place in history. I really enjoyed that and got a lot out of it.
I totally agree. I really like that documentary. I'd totally forgotten that was from this year. That's the thing. Some things are really clear and others are a little.
Oh, I want to say, thank God for Letterboxd. Thank you, Letterboxd. Because yeah, I would have never.
Yeah, that was so good. That was such a great watch, and it was a really good year for documentaries in general. At least for me,
mm-hmm.
of the ones that I saw, I really enjoyed all of them. But yeah, that was really great. She was something else.
Oh man, yeah,
she was something else. I just remember that outfit that she's sitting in that still.
Oh, good.
Like it kind of like matches her wallpaper and decoration. Yeah. It's like that was something else, man. That was something else. That's so great. My number 10, I already mentioned it, Man of Steel. Bring on Superman. I'm game. And I guess I can totally see, because we had like the discussions on this went on for weeks. And I totally understand why people don't like Man of Steel, but it's exactly all the reasons why I like Man of Steel.
You know,
so we're never going to agree.
I only saw that. If you do follow our preview podcast, you know that I'm kind of a Debbie Downer on all of these goddamn reboots we've been getting. So
Debbie Downer.
I kind of boycotted the new Spider-Man and the new Man of Steel. But I rewatched it over. I watched it over Christmas. And it's actually my number 2.
Yay!
And I'm with you. I really liked the changes they made to make it more contemporary. They totally worked for me, and they were the thing that made the movie interesting and not just another goddamn reboot.
Yay!
So yeah, definitely thumbs up. I'm looking forward
That's exciting.
Yeah, and Cavill, I was surprised. I didn't think Cavill would work as Superman, honestly, but he acquitted himself really nicely.
He's like a god of
Michael
sort.
Shannon was awesome.
He was pretty great.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner, I think, is my second favorite.
Costner did a really, you know, I think he's almost hitting a new kind of golden age.
Which is now. Great because I love Costner.
You know, I've never been a big Costner fan.
Oh, I love
Mr. Brooks.
Yes, we want the sequel, damn it.
Changed. Yes, we do. We really do.
Damn it.
And then lately, some of these small roles he's had, he's just like put in these great performances.
Agreed. So,
yeah, thumbs up.
So good. My number 9 is, I kind of went, okay, it was a really great year for music docs. There were lots that I really liked. Which touched me the most? And I went with 20 Feet from Stardom, which is the documentary about the backup singers.
Yeah.
The music is phenomenal. It's just awesome.
I didn't get to that one, but it's on my list.
Oh, yeah. I think it already played the Vancity. I'm surprised it's not out on DVD yet. Like, come on, make this happen. I need to buy this thing. It's really awesome. I have nothing else to say.
Excellent. Yeah, I was the music docs. There's a couple that I didn't get around to seeing either, like Sound City and.
Yeah, Sound City was like the ones that sort of made my short list were Sound City. I really liked Muscle Shoals. I really liked the sample this. Jingle Bell Rocks was a big surprise right before Christmas.
I wish I'd gone and seen that in Whistler now.
Oh, it's really, really great.
Yeah. So number nine.
Yeah.
Munster University.
Which I haven't seen.
Oh, it is what it is. It's Pixar. I had a lot of fun with it.
Is it lesser Pixar?
It's a little bit lesser Pixar. It didn't have the emotional punch that the really top-notch Pixar movies have. So I mean, yeah, it's not in my top five Pixar, but I really enjoyed it. And like I said, I had a hard time picking top of the list. So I don't know. Next week it might have been different.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, mine will probably be different.
But yeah.
Nice. I guess my number eight, Ben Wheatley's Sightseers. I have the single movie I've seen the most this year.
You would be sad to see it's like towards the bottom of my list.
Yeah, I've watched this thing like 8 or 9 times this year.
Wow.
I've inflicted this movie on anybody and everybody.
I was into it for the first part, but it just kind of got
ridiculous.
When
she buys the giant pencil. Oh my God, I laughed so
much. No, not ridiculous. I think this is a movie without redemption.
Yes.
Or maybe I missed something.
No, there's no redemption here.
It's and those kind of movies don't typically kind of resonate with me too much. There's some really fun moments in there, and there's just some like dark matching personality reality kinds of moments in there, and I enjoyed those. But yeah, these are just like two really sad people unapologetically doing bad things, and it does not end well for anybody.
And I loved every single moment of it. The thing that gets me about this movie is just how hard I laugh every time I see it. I thought the laughs would like diminish slightly the second time, but I think I laughed more. And I think I laugh more every time I see it. I just can't help myself. I love this movie.
The one thing I took away from that movie was it did a really good job of like, we follow this set of civil rules, right? And we don't, you know, we do it because we're trained to do it, but we don't really think about it.
Yeah.
And you know, once you cross the line, things change. And that movie kind of demonstrated that in spades. It's like, yeah, well, we made that first step. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, might as well go all the way.
It's like, yeah, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Pretty much. And they do.
Yeah.
So what is your number eight?
Elysium.
Ah.
Which, I mean, Elysium had its problems, but I quite enjoyed it. And actually, it had some horrible problems.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess because, you know, background in computing, the premise of being able to so easily make that change, like the underlying driving force of being able to change the precedent with just a little bit of code secretly authored someplace, that's just so fragile. Like, that took me out of the story, but that's just me from, you know, my day job, I guess. But the rest of the story, I enjoyed it. And it was, if I say what I'm about to say, it might spoiler it, but you know, it wasn't a super happy ending for everybody, which was a nice change too.
Yes. I like movies that don't like try to wrap things up.
The Walt Disney endings or whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
Yeah. Not my thing either. Excellent. I'm surprised. That's a good pick. I thought it looked really good. I had serious problems with it, but in general, I enjoyed it. My number seven, one that a lot of people had lots of problems with, and I have lots of problems with as well, but I love this movie so much. It just has such a joy for like life. I want to be 75 and partying it up in Italy. The Great Beauty.
I never saw that.
It's Paolo Sorrentino's new movie. It's about a 75-year-old magazine guy. He writes articles, but he's sort of like the talk of the town. Everybody knows who he is, and he sort of has access to all these things that a lot of other people don't have access to. And he's celebrating his 75th, I think it's a 70, it's something in 70s. But the movie opens with this like ridiculously grand party that goes on for like 20 minutes. But it's a bunch of old people dancing, a bunch of young people dancing, everybody's drinking, everybody's having a good time. And like the entire movie is like that. It's just like one big fucking party.
Nice.
And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. And I love that it doesn't apologize for anything. It is what it is. And it kind of says, you know what? It's good to be old and having a good time. And I just, something about that like really spoke to me. I'm like, I want to be 75 and having a grand old time.
I want to see that.
It's a bit of a mess. Like a lot of the story doesn't make a lot of sense and it sort of meanders a lot, but it's gorgeous. The music is great. I really, really love this movie. Not my number 7. And I know a lot of people hate it, but I really like that a lot. I want a party like that. You're number 7.
I'm already second guessing this one, but Star Trek Into Darkness.
Why are you second guessing?
It's good.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, well, true.
It's
true.
The batch.
Oh, did I tell you? Yeah, I finished the first season of Sherlock. And
oh, you're totally,
finally.
I've already seen the first episode of season 3.
Yeah, I'm just catching up to the Sherlock after being like told about
it. And was
from
it
many
awesome?
People. It was a lot of fun. Definitely
the first episode of season 2 is the best 90 minutes I have ever seen in any television show ever. Like seriously, that episode is like, it's awesome. I wish I could experience that for the first time again.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. You need to do that like soon.
Okay.
Well, it's funny because I got a text message from Bill on the first, which was yesterday. He's like, how sad is it that the only two things I'm worried about today are the fact that I want the New Jersey, the Devils to win, because it was the Winter Classic yesterday, and that the Red Wings, I should say, and the fact that Sherlock is airing in about 2 minutes. Like, fuck, new Sherlock. Must get on that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Episode 1 is amazing. And they don't tell you how he did it. And I totally took you off track. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, and oddly enough, Cumberbatch's as Khan was like, eh. And
he's not that interesting.
There was elements of the story. Abrams updated Starfleet to be in keeping with more of a contemporary view of institutions. And for me personally, like one of the things I liked about Star Trek was that very much we're still out there dealing with problems, but we have this other set of things solved. So that doesn't sit right quite with me. Which is why I didn't enjoy it more, but they so nailed these characters, like, not quite the feel, there's still problems with the female characters and I think not enough main ones, but the Pine and Quinto and Urban, I mean, those three and the chemistry, I enjoy watching them.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the reasons that I like the first Star Trek reboot so much better is that there's more about the characters. And what I really liked about the franchise was the way that they updated the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with you. I think they're still having some issues with the female characters, but in general, I think they nailed Saldana's character quite well. And she has more to do in the first movie, which I think is probably why I like the first one more.
Yeah.
But I thought this was okay for a second entry. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was terrible. And I'm, you know, the destruction movies, they're always going to be there, man. If you have issues with cities being destructed, then stop watching movies. Like, why bother? They're always going to destroy something.
Oh, that
get
whole
over
subtext.
Yourself. Yeah, get over yourself. It's done. I mean, really. Just avoid all of the giant movies. Avoid Godzilla.
Yeah.
Spoiler warning, avoid Godzilla.
I think I can't.
Am I being mean?
I can't remember. No, like the thing that with it's when it goes on forever and ever and ever that.
And then, which I didn't think it did in.
Actually, Thor was bad for that. It just seemed like.
Oh, I see.
The battle scenes just like, okay.
Oh, I actually like the scenes in Thor. I think that the scenes in the Avengers went on for too long.
I think.
For me, that was the culprit of the action scenes that go on forever.
The Avengers. Oh, okay.
That big epic battle scene in the city.
I thought
that went on for too long.
I thought that was broken up enough that.
No, I actually like the ones in Thor.
Okay.
I prefer the ones in Thor 2, actually.
Thor. I was thinking of Thor 2, actually.
Oh,
well,
okay.
The ones in Thor 2 almost got farcical for me.
Oh, which I liked.
Oh, okay. I was expecting Yakety Sax to come on and like a Benny Hill thing to happen there a few times.
That would have been awesome.
Different movie, but it would have been awesome, yeah.
Yes.
see those elves that look like Cybermen from Doctor Who come around the corner. Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been very funny.
Anyway, so yes, number 7, Star Trek Into Darkness.
My number 6, of course, there was a vampire movie on my list. If there is another year, there is a vampire movie on my list. Zan Cassavetes's Kiss of the Damned. This movie is fucking amazing. That is all.
I don't even remember Kiss of the Damned.
It didn't play theatrically. It was released. I think it did in some places, not here. It was released on VOD. It's now available on DVD. This movie is so great. It's very typical of a vampire movie. It's vampires being all, oh, woe is me. I have lived forever and I'm very sad and I must find some meaning in my life. But these vampires actually have, at least the central vampire that we meet, she's well aware of her mortality and that she can actually be killed. And there's this really interesting side plot of them, like the vampires they haven't come out in society. It's not like True Blood, mm-hmm. but they sort of have developed a way of living amongst humans with their own rules and regulations that... the people that run things aren't quite happy with the rules and regulations and they break them in very controlled environments. There's just like all this weird subtext going on. But the reason I really like this movie is it's just so lush. Like the actresses are all like French. They have these amazing accents. They look beautiful. The music is like 70s inspired, like acid dream thing. The outfits are gorgeous. It's just this like really over the top, really lush, very, I don't know. I really love this movie. I love the feel of it, the texture of it. It's like, it's just a little bit weird. I don't know. I love it. I love it. Love every second of it.
Another one you've got me curious about.
Oh, I'll lend it to you. I've got it. I as soon as this was available, I ordered it.
Oh, we should start a list because there's that one and that other one we were talking about before, and I've forgotten the one. That you were gonna bring for me if I.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, good Lord! Damn it.
We'll figure it out.
Oh yeah, it's recorded. So
there you go. So yes, Kiss of the Damned, highly, 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 highly recommend it.
The vampire movie I watched this year because of the podcast you and Shannon did was Byzantium. Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird vampire
movie. It is, yeah.
But it's a really great vampire
movie. Yeah, and...
See, Kurt, again, fuck you. He said no sort of like double movies on your list. I guess it makes it too hard to count.
Yeah.
But if I had a choice, it would have been Byzantium / Kiss of the Damned, because I love Byzantium.
I won't say I loved it, but it was sure well done, and it was sure a nice change for a story. And yes. Damn it, Saoirse Ronan can act.
That girl is awesome.
Not on top 10, but on 6, right?
Good sidebar. Yeah, number 6. Number 6. Okay.
The Purge.
Really?
Really?
But it's a horror movie.
Well, like I said, sometimes I do horror. Yeah, I guess it would fall into horror, wouldn't it? A little bit, quite.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller, I guess. I don't know.
I guess part of it is it is a little bit genre bending, I guess, because it's a future show too.
Yep.
You could argue that it was science fiction.
So you're gonna see the sequel too?
Probably.
Nice. We'll go together.
But. I watched this because I was bored and I happened to come across it and I thought, oh, what the hell? Cause some of the actors were interesting this is Franco, right?
Huh?
In The Purge? Who's in The Purge?
No, it's, fuck.
Oh, I will look it up.
I know who it is, but it's gone blank.
It was a social commentary, and it really spoke to...
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke. Yes, Ethan Hawke.
I'm like, I got to do it before he looks it up.
And you won. I just love all of the buried social commentary that was... I mean, obviously it was there because I noticed it, but it wasn't the core of the story. No. Like, the core of the story was a survival story, but... Buried underneath there was just a whole lot of really interesting subtext on violence in society and you know, what circumstances would you put your life on the line? And at the end, the ending, the resolution was a little bit kind of thick. It was a while ago I saw it, but overall, again, it's one of those movies that my thoughts have come back to every now and then. And it was good.
Yeah, I really like the subtext that they developed for the story. I thought it had some really great ideas. I didn't particularly love it, but damn, that the kid, the grinny kid at the door,
oh yeah,
fuck, he stood out for me. I've seen him. I went out looking for another movie that he was in. I thought, this kid's got to be pretty good, man, because I remember him. He was creepy as hell.
Oh,
he's not bad.
The whole... And some of the subtext I enjoyed the most was just like the whole suburban neighbor kind of like,
yes.
Hi, we're your neighbors. We're your friends. Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, oh, that'll let two-faced.
Yeah, no, it certainly had some interesting ideas. I'm curious to check out the sequel. I'd go with you. My number five, actually most of these probably won't come as a surprise now, but Spring Breakers.
Oh, I haven't.
Harmony Korine.
I guess I'm going to have to watch that.
I can lend
if
you
it
that.
If it made your top 10 list, I'm gonna
really,
have to watch it.
I really liked Spring Breakers.
I mean, the concept was kind of cool because it's a reversal on the whole teen girl stalking thing, if I remember right. Or is it?
No, I think that's more the Bling Ring.
Okay.
That's the one.
They're on spring break and they get into a bad situation.
Yeah,
right?
This is the one where they're on spring break. They run out of money. They get into a bad situation. They get bailed out by this guy, alien, who happens to be a drug dealer. James Franco being awesome with his fucking gold teeth and whatever else. But I don't know. There's just, it goes a little bit over the top, but it really captures this essence of being young and doing stupid things. And I don't know, just it really worked for me as this sort of snapshot of, what's important to kids.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, the first, when they go on spring break, it looks like a Girls Gone Wild video. Like, and the fact that he's managed to make that look artistic is fucking impressive. And I mean, it's totally off the rails. Like, shit happens and you're like, holy fuck, what the hell? But I mean, none of it feels so ridiculous that it's not believable.
Right.
I don't know. I bought into the characters and
nice.
I could totally see okay. why they did what they did. I really, really liked Spring Breakers. It's very hedonistic. I'm okay with that. You're number five.
Oh, my number five is going to sound almost trite by comparison. Another cartoon, The Croods.
Nothing wrong with that. I haven't finished The Croods.
Really?
We started it. I kind of lost interest. We fell asleep.
Oh, I wonder. That is so bizarre. No, I found,
really liked as much of it as I saw, which is most of it.
I found it had a sophistication for a cartoon that I don't seldom see, in the sense of the relationships, especially the father-daughter relationship.
Yes,
where. It was complicated, and I mean the
Nicolas Cage's best work in a long
time. Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think, and some of the scenes are legitimately just hilarious.
Agreed.
So yeah, I mean everything you want out of it works on the kid level, it works on the adult level themes, and I mean, yeah, it's a cartoon and it's a happy ending cartoon, so there's a happy ending. So. Oh well.
Yeah. But, hey, I'm okay with happy endings.
I'm okay with that. I don't like too much sugar. I've almost felt like there might have been too much sugar, but overall, it didn't decrease my enjoyment of.
And that's the important part.
Yeah,
that's the important part. My number four, a movie nobody has seen. At least I got that sense. The Wall. It's German. It's about a woman who's on vacation and she wakes up one morning and she is surrounded by this giant dome.
I remember reading your review of that.
She's
yeah.
by herself. It's amazing. And it's kind of weird because it kind of, now that I've seen All Is Lost, it kind of reminds me of that. Because it's like one people movies where,
right.
you know, you're by yourself and they don't do a whole lot of talking. But she keeps a diary, in which she shares like her innermost thoughts. It's just a really inspiring story and really fascinating,
huh.
and one that really made me cry. There's a scene in that movie that broke me apart.
Well, that's one of the things that scares me about movies like that.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, talk about a gut punch. It was really good. I really highly recommend The Wall if you can find it somewhere. It's very, very good. Year number four. Hope it's more fun.
Yes. Don John.
Oh, definitely more fun. Definitely more fun.
I love the whole perspective on life and relationships. And Lovett is definitely a unique voice.
Yes.
You know, he's not, you can't, at least I can't compare him to anyone else.
And I love that about him.
Yeah. And he delivered on the screen too, like with the story. I really, nothing was super obvious. There was just a whole bunch of subtle things happening in there, along with like some outrageous stuff that kind of made you either cringe or laugh. And the whole Julianne Moore thing. It was a really good story. It was well presented, and I loved the themes he was playing with there.
Yeah, one of the things that really impressed me about Don John that didn't really strike me until I thought about it like a lot later was just how he manages to make a character that I generally dislike. Like, I hate those types of characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's loud, brash, sort of self-centered, egotistical sort of characters.
Yeah.
Mind you, he does redeem himself towards the end, but I'm just amazed at the fact that he manages to make me like him.
Yeah.
And I hate those characters. So I was really impressed. I really liked Don John.
Yeah, same here. Like, and I mean, just some of the scenes with where he's out with his buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cringeworthy.
JGL love. My number three, also not a very happy movie, 12 Years a Slave. Both for the power of the story and the technical aspect of just how amazing this movie looks and is. Steve McQueen keeps on trucking along, making awesome movies with the very awesome Michael Fassbender. You can't see my laugh, but it's here. Big grin. Shit-eating grin.
Yeah, check out her Tumblr.
Dude, it was either this or The Counselor, and The Counselor was terrible. Fucking terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Actually, you know, the best review I saw of The Counselor, and I don't know if you saw The Counselor or not.
No.
But the best review I saw of The Counselor was Kermo doing his, I think it was their top 10 moments of the year list, where they're talking about just how bad The Counselor was. It was from his review of The Counselor, and it was like, and this is exactly what it is like, they ask, we're having a conversation, and you ask me a question, and I talk for 10 minutes in riddles, and never really answer your question. That's what The Counselor is like for like 90 minutes. It's like there's these great actors and a really kind of interesting story with some really great characters, but they talk in circles for 15 minutes. It's like, just spit it out already. Ah! So yes, I fucking hated The Counselor. Sorry, but Michael Fassbender is still amazing. You're number three. I'm done talking.
My number three, Saving Mr. Banks.
Yay! Emma Thompson love.
Yes, Emma Thompson love.
Emma Thompson love. She's amazing.
I was really worried about this movie when I first heard about it because it's done by Disney on a Disney film, and I thought maybe Disney propaganda engine, but
it kind of is
a little bit. It is a little bit. Yeah, you
but
know.
But it's really charming.
They left, actually, but they did leave, like, the interesting, like, she didn't like the movie. It was publicly known that she didn't like the movie, and she didn't give them the rights to any of her other books. But in the end, they didn't actually change that. They left that for what it was. And that little the thing where they have her on tape,
yes,
at the end,
that was amazing.
And you're listening to her, and then, you know, thinking back to the scene in the movie, and it's like, yeah, this was a little bit more complicated than And I've read some stuff subsequently because I got really curious, and apparently, the books aren't like kind of an easy read.
I've never read them. I
haven't either. I'm curious to, but. Yeah, no, the whole character development, like the arcs in there and the fun moments and the presentation of her childhood versus the whole story. I was just really well done, and it connected with me.
Like very that, nice. I like really liked that. Yeah. I enjoyed it as
and
well.
I actually went and rewatched Mary Poppins. Couldn't help it after that.
Oh, good for you.
I didn't like the movie before, and I didn't really like it any better after.
It's funny because I'm not a huge fan of Mary Poppins. I prefer Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Me too. Yes. Any day of the week.
And it's weird.
Oh, then that was, okay. I was talking to someone trying to remember the movie where I heard this really, I could, Dick Van Dyke and his British accent.
Terrible.
Christ.
Terrible.
Yes, they really shouldn't have. And he didn't in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He played an American. It's thank God.
Yeah. But one of the things I always liked about Mary Poppins, even though I'm not a huge fan of the movie, is the music.
I think there's the some songs, catchy stuff. Yeah.
I think the songs from Mary Poppins are really great.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I just don't care to see the movie again.
No.
We should watch Chitty Chitty.
Oh, I'd be totally into that.
I haven't seen it in years. I have the sing along version.
Oh, man.
Do you believe that? With the bouncing dot.
Okay.
Because I could not help myself. I had to upgrade to that when I saw it. I'm like, fuck, I need to have this. Dan thought I was insane. He's like, you already have a copy of this. I'm like, I'll get rid of it. I want the bouncing dot sing-along version.
I have three different songs from there going through my head right now. It's crazy.
And you know what the weird part is? The first time I saw that movie, I was already in my teens. I must have been like 10 or 11. And I was so scared. It creeped me out. There was something about the chimney and the flying car and the guy with the big sack.
That villain was definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to this day, it's like one of my favorites. I love that movie. I didn't know anybody else that I knew who had a love for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
My brother got a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car.
Oh.
Like it was like the size of a.
Guys were geeking out at Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. This is amazing.
Yeah. I was so jealous.
That is so awesome.
Oh, man. It was big for kids. Like it was in the cereal boxes and the whole. Now, we bugged the crap out of our parents to go see that one.
Oh, I don't even know where I saw it, but I remember being so scared the first time I saw it. And for whatever reason. My number two surprised the hell out of me. Tom at the Farm. Xavier Dolan.
All these movies I haven't seen.
Oh my God. This movie, I love this movie so much. I just love the look of it, the feel of it. I love the performances. I like the story that they're getting at. This thing with obsession and letting go. Like there's just so much going on. I can't wait to see it again. I really like Tom at the Farm.
Nice.
Number two movie. Number two.
We already talked about my number two, Man of Steel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent pick.
Yeah.
Excellent pick. Okay. My number one head and everything above everything else I saw this year. Stoker.
Huh. That description just did nothing.
That movie is so much more than any description could ever give you.
I wish I'd had your list like a week ago so I could have watched a couple of these at least to
Well, it did make the Row 3 consensus list, which doesn't really surprise me too much because it kind of touches on the sensibilities of a lot of us.
Uh-huh.
It's not only a really great looking movie, it's a really interesting movie about family dynamic. It's also a really great genre movie because it's kind of about serial killers, but not really.
Huh.
It's so interesting. And I think it probably has my second favorite scene of the year, which is like the piano playing scene with Mia Wasikowska and Matthew Good is just so amazing. And Matthew Good is like the greatest villain ever. He just has this... I think he's an amazing actor and he does not do enough work. I don't know why. I think it might be he's just very selective on what he decides to do. But he just has this amazing... he has an amazing facial expressions and he just looks like such a good guy that when he plays the bad guy, it's so wonderful.
Huh. Nice.
It's why I love The Lookout so much as well. Cause he plays a bad guy in that as well.
I haven't seen that either.
It's from a few years ago, but I highly recommend digging it up. It's excellent. So yeah, Stoker is my number one movie of the year. Your number one.
Frozen.
Wow.
Yeah. A Disney movie.
You would like my background screen thing here. It's Olaf. If I can ever bring it up. Olaf!
You know, and Olaf didn't when I saw the, like, I went in there, actually, I went in expecting to hate this movie. I just.
Oh, really?
Disney princess movies, I.
But this one is so different.
But it was. It really, I mean, well, I mean, I think my text to you was like, yeah, liked it. It brought Disney princesses into the 21st century. Yeah, or maybe I tweeted it. But yeah, I truly think that, like, it was heads and tails, the best princess story I've seen maybe ever, but certainly in a long, long, long time. And it had all of the other great things that you want in a story, in a cartoon. And the story was just, it was, it focused on that sister's relationship and not the love interest.
Yeah.
And that was just so damn refreshing.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the reasons I loved it so much.
And the other thing too was, like, musicals. I'm generally down on musicals. Although, you know, it was like not as musical as Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
But, or as many songs. But I actually enjoyed the musical numbers as well, which kind of surprised me. And yeah, I mean, the animation was bang on, the story pacing was bang on. So, but mostly, yeah, it was just like refreshing to see that. And I just, I don't know. I guess I went out of like feel good. Like, I just came out feeling great.
Yeah, that movie. Totally. You know, it's one of those movies where there aren't a lot of movies that I sort of watch and I go, oh, my sister should see that. That's one of them.
Yeah.
It's just a really great story. I really loved Frozen. It was very, very good. And yeah, it looked amazing. The ice thing was great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and a lot of subtext for that whole, like, I know a lot of people that have different interpretations of what that is, but what amazes me is the story. And this is always the great thing about story. Actually, this is one of the things that I'm enjoying when I read the criticisms of The Wolf of Wall Street. Like, what you got out of that story was so much about what you took in yourself, because it laid this wonderful narrative framework. Like, she was, you know, she had that thing that was not socially acceptable.
Yep.
Or so they thought. And what people are interpreting that as, you know, it's just like, I'm seeing all kinds of different things come out about that. Like, whether or not it was like she was a closet lesbian, or whether there's like some childhood. One interesting thing, a guy was talking about his daughter, and I forget exactly what she had. It was a minor disability or something.
Okay.
And, you know, he was like, yeah, that's totally our dynamic. And I'm like, that's the sign of a great story.
Yeah.
Like, when such a diverse number of people can identify.
Yep.
Like that.
Yeah.
And kudos. I mean,
agreed.
I have metric butt ton loads of criticism for Disney, but kudos on this one. That was well done.
Agreed. I really liked Frozen. Highly recommended. And that's our top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
It was a good year.
There's so many other movies I would love to talk about that I enjoyed, but as much as I can tell,
there's
the top 10, yeah.
Do we have anything else to add about 2013 before we wrap things up?
No, like I think, did you say it in the last part or something? Last podcast, maybe this one.
We've been going for a while.
Yeah, I'm hoping 2014 is as good or better.
Agreed. It's certainly shaping up to look, at least it's looking like it could be a really good year. So I'm really excited for 2014. Yeah. Damn it, I'm still in 2013. I got to get out of my system before I go back to work on Monday.
Yeah. I'm always careful with my rent checks.
Yeah, that's
January.
Right. Yeah. But we will be back sooner rather than later, we hope, with February preview, maybe something before that. I think we're going to try to do more podcasts this year. Is that the goal?
That would be cool.
That would be very cool. I really do miss our discussion podcasts too. It'd be nice to do a few more of those, maybe bring some more people in to talk. I have it on good authority that our festival buddies, Adrian, Charlie, and Bill Harris are going to do a podcast.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Me too. So we'll let you know when that goes live. But we expect, I think they're planning on the first episode to be their top 10 of the year. So that'll be kind of cool. So yeah, hopefully they'll get that up sooner rather than later, and we can guide you in that direction because they're two very smart gentlemen.
Yeah. Check our Whistler wrap up for a...
Yes. I mean, at this point, I would be surprised if people don't know who Bill is, because he's been... Bill's been co-hosting the festival shows for a couple of years.
Oh, he's
now
a machine, man. I cannot believe the number... Well, actually, Adrian is no slouch either. Like,
no, he's not.
Crazy number of films.
Yeah, all power to the man. They've seen far more movies than I have this year. They certainly have.
And that's saying something.
That is saying something, because I think I've seen a lot, but it's nothing in comparison to what they've seen. And they work full time too, so you know, I have no complaint. I can't complain that I work full time. Yeah. So do they. So, but hey, just this, the way the cookie crumbles. But yeah, so it's been a good year. Stay tuned for more from the Row 3 crew. Be sure to come by row3.com for lots of updates. QuietEarth.us. I was going to say .uk for some reason. I don't know why. It's just going to come out that way. QuietEarth.us for all your weird movie news stuff. Not really weird. We're going kind of mainstream too. Oops. I may have had something to do with that. My apologies to all the people that don't like that move. And yeah, we'll be back soon with more movie talk. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Can't figure out how to do it.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. No right, no wrong, no rules for me.